Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Our text that I've chosen for today's meditation is taken from the sixth chapter of the book of Romans, the 13th verse. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness, but rather offer yourselves to God as those who have been brought from death to life, and offer the parts of your body to him as instruments of righteousness. So far our text. Family and friends of the graduates, my brothers in the work of the Lord, and you, the apostles of the church who are being sent forth in service to the Lord, have you ever stopped to consider how many tools and instruments you have used in your life? Often when we think of a tool, we think of a gardening tool like a hoe, a rake, or a shovel. An instrument is a thing that might be played in a band, like a trumpet, a clarinet, a tuba, and the like. When we speak of tools or instruments, we have a certain image that comes to mind, a picture of what that tool or instrument might be. You, my fellow apostles of the church, have been using tools and instruments throughout your seminary education. Think of those many instruments that you have used to be able to complete your education. Of course, there was the computer. What a wonderful instrument. In the old days, and not really that long ago, papers were typed on typewriters, those ancient machines that allowed words to be placed on paper. But if there were a mistake, a misspelled word or line that was left out, you might have to retype the whole page in order to fix the correction. Now the computer allows you to scroll down to the proper page, to correct the mistake with just a few pushes of the keys. Computers are indeed an instrument that has made your seminary education much easier. You've also been using pen and paper as instruments of your education. Taking notes is an important part of your education. If only you could remember everything the professor said. The notes of the paper jog your memory and allow you to remember what the professor was trying to explain to you. Pen and paper are instruments which have enabled you to arrive at this point, to graduate from this theological seminary and enter into your vocation and calling as servants of the church, instruments of God's righteousness. Instruments of God's righteousness. That's what you are. From this day forth, you will step forth into a community where God has assigned you. You will share the precious message of Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, in word and sacrament. You will visit the sick and needy and bring to them the precious message of Jesus so that they might find hope in our Lord when all earthly hope fades away into the shadows. You will be Christ's mouth to these people as he speaks through your words the things he desires his people to know. You will be Christ's hands and feet as Christ works through you to touch the sick and needy and provide a helping hand to the oppressed. You will be Christ's presence in time of death, reminding the grieving that God is with them and knows their needs because he has sent you to be his ears and eyes. Today, as you prepare to go forth to your call and vocation, you go as one sent forth into the world, an apostle of the church, to be instruments of God's righteousness. Instruments are tools that have been designed for a specific purpose. When one thinks of an instrument in an orchestra, one sees a variety of instruments each designed and joined together to form a beautiful symphony. There are the violins and the violas, the cellos and the bass violin, the brass section and the woodwinds, the drums and the bells. Each of these instruments has their use and function. Each of them combined in the orchestra creates music that is a joy for the ear to hear. You are instruments of the Lord. God has created and fashioned you in a wonderful way. God has gifted you with skills and talents that He desires to be used by Him in His kingdom. Just think, while you were in your mother's womb, even before the world knew whether you would be a male or female, God was already knitting and fashioning you together. God was creating you to have a body and soul, eyes, ears, and all your members. God was placing within your being your reason and your senses. God was equipping you with skills and talents which you would need to serve in your calling as a pastor or teacher within His church. Yet what kind of instrument will you be? Martin Luther, our beloved namesake, has referred to us as a jagged and chipped axe. Have you ever tried to use a chipped axe to chop down a tree or to trim branches from a log? The chipped part of the axe does not want to cut through that piece of wood, but bounces off, denting, but not cutting the tree. It is very difficult to accomplish anything with a jagged and chipped axe. Yet that's what you and I are, jagged and chipped axes. Even though God has given us many skills and talents to be used in His kingdom, these skills and talents are found in a sinful body, corrupted by the effects of our sinful nature. You and I are sinners. Our motives and our wisdom in using these skills and talents can often be as much self-serving as Christ-serving. The service we render in the church is often very concrete in form: visiting, counseling, teaching, and preaching. But the results of our labors are often not as tangible in form. When one plants a garden, one can go out in a week or two and see the results of one's labor. But in the church, our work may not bear fruit for months or years, or in the case of Jeremiah the prophet, never. This does not diminish what we do, but can be frustrating for us who are by nature task-oriented. When we don't see the results of our labors, we may want to push harder so that we might feel good about our work. Our motives become self-centered instead of Christ-centered. You may want to move that baptismal font so that you can say that you have accomplished something. But who is it helping? You or the gospel message? And because you and I are sinners, we can use our skills and talents for evil. Paul writes, "Do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its desires. Do not offer the parts of your body to sin as instruments of wickedness." You will find times when you may make assumptions that are wrong, decisions that are misguided, or do something that is more harmful than beneficial for the body of Christ. You are a sinner who will fail and mess up things. You are a chipped and jagged instrument of God's righteousness. But being a sinner does not mean that you are unfit for service in God's kingdom. Remember St. Peter. Jesus told St. Peter, "Get behind me, Satan." It was Peter who denied the Lord three times. It was Peter who influenced Barnabas and the other Jewish Christians in Galatia to forsake the brotherhood of Gentiles for the sake of some Old Testament rules and regulations. Jesus did not cast Peter aside because of his sinfulness. Jesus forgave Peter so that he might be God's instrument to proclaim God's righteousness in all the world. When your sinfulness manifests itself, when you despair of being an instrument of God's righteousness, take the gospel message and apply it to yourself. If you, O Lord, kept a record of sin, O Lord, who could stand? But with you, there is forgiveness. Seek out a trusted brother confessor and confess your sinfulness and failures to him. For I know my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have I sinned and done what is evil in your sight. Hear God's absolution proclaimed to you by this instrument of God. In the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Remember what you have learned in the Catechism and apply it to yourself. I believe that when the called ministers of Christ deal with us by his divine command and absolve those who repent of their sins and want to do better, this is just as valid and certain, even in heaven, as if Christ, our dear Lord, dealt with us himself. Live in God's grace as you serve as instruments of God's righteousness. For you are a forgiven child of the Heavenly Father. This forgiveness God accomplished in you in your baptism when he used the hands of a man as an instrument of his righteousness. This forgiveness God brings you back to again and again as he uses others as instruments of his righteousness to remind you of your baptism and the forgiveness of sin he gave you and continues to give you every day. This forgiveness God regularly offers to you in his body and blood, hidden in earthly elements, so that you might be preserved in the true faith until everlasting life. For you are a chipped, jagged axe, whom God has redeemed in the blood of the Lamb. And God has chosen you to be an instrument of his righteousness for his people. Even though we are chipped and jagged axe, we also know in whose hands we are held. For it is God who welds this axe and swings it mightily to accomplish what he desires in this life. As you stand in the pulpit, you will speak a message to the people, scattering seed upon the land. Jesus tells us in a parable in Mark, a man scatters seed on the ground. Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain. First the stalk, then the head, then the full kernel in the head. As soon as the grain is ripe, he puts the sickle to it, because the harvest has come. You are a sower of that seed. And that seed which you sow contains power. For God has placed His Holy Spirit within that word so that every time you scatter the seed, you release the power of God into the world so that God might accomplish His will on earth. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. As you give yourselves freely to this vocation that the Lord has placed before you, do not be surprised at the opposition that will come to you from within and without of the church. For these trials and afflictions will come to you because you are a servant of the Lord. For as an instrument of God's righteousness, you are an instrument that God is using to destroy the kingdom of darkness that dwells over this land. You are an instrument that Satan and his demons are opposed to. Satan and his demons will use all the resources to stop you from accomplishing the will of God. But greater is he who is in you than he who is in the world. God is the Almighty One who is our ever-present help in time of trouble. He is able to take even the worst evil and transform it into a greater good. God uses the evil of this world, the trials and tribulations that we face, to equip us for service to God's people. Luther writes, "And the just man is like a rusty tool which God began to polish. But where it is rusty does not cut until it is perfectly polished." In the midst of the troubles we experience in this life, we know that God is taking this chipped and jagged axe and sharpening it, polishing it, preparing it for greater works of service in His kingdom. We may not see where we need to be sharpened. We may not see the chips that exist in our life, but God sees, God knows, and God is constantly at work in our lives so that we might be able to use our skills and talents to the best of our abilities as instruments of God's righteousness. And you will not be the only instruments of His righteousness that will exist in your congregation. Every member of your congregation is an instrument being used by God for the salvation of souls and the preservation of the faith. Together we form the body of Christ. Together we work in our vocations and callings for the glory of God. Before moving to Ohio, where I presently serve Christ in His kingdom, I served a dual parish in rural Minnesota. Rarely did I ever hear a word of encouragement from the members of those congregations. Everett once told me that when he went to church as a small boy, his dad would pull on his ear every time he was misbehaving. If Dad didn't pull on his ear, Everett knew that everything was all right. That really explained the attitude of the congregation. If we aren't complaining about what you're doing, then I was just to know that everything was all right in their midst. One day, as I was making my shut-in visits, I came upon a member who was being visited by two of our members, Al and Esther. It was their task to take the tape of last Sunday's service to the shut-ins so that they could feel a part of our worship service. Al came up to me and invited me to listen to that tape. He said he wanted me to hear one of the greatest preachers in the world. You know, that's the only time Al ever said anything about even one of my sermons. I was just supposed to know that everything was all right. His words were a shot in the arm that kept me going for weeks. His words were worth more than $1 million. That day, Al was an instrument of God's righteousness for me. And I'd also like to share with you two cards that my family and I have received from the saints whom God has used as instruments of his righteousness. Dear Pastor Debbie and family, we are sending you a big hug and a little prayer for your rough week. And we are saying to you, as you always say to us, Jesus is there. And then I received this card. Dear Pastor and Debbie, when we're faced with life struggles, sometimes it feels like we're all alone, like no one cares. I care about you and what you're going through, and there's someone who cares even more. Thinking about you and wishing you God's blessing. God is your strength, helping you in any struggle you face. Your protector, surrounding you with his peace. Your shield, equipping you with the truth of his word.